What's up, man?
Back to my driveway. What are you doing?
Oh, I actually left at a time that I should have, and there was, like, no traffic. It was great drive-in today, and I'm about 5 to 7 minutes out.
That's how it is if I left, like, 10 minutes ago, maybe 15. I pretty much just not touched the brakes the whole way in, but now it'll be annoying.
Yep, I know how that goes. Yeah, I was shocked. It was like, man, is nobody going to work today? But I am 10 minutes early, so it's probably just the cycle of traffic.
I do think that traffic will probably be a little bit lighter the next couple weeks because of the holiday. I'm sure people burn a ton of PTO at the end of the year. But yesterday was still just dumb. It's really just, you take 53 every now and again, don't you?
Yeah, but not rush hour. Like, I'll be out there on a Saturday or a Friday night or something.
That's what I thought, yeah. You're not, like, commuting out here. You're coming out here for something fun. But it's just, it's really not bad. And then you get to 34 and M53, like Old Van Dyke, where it turns into the expressway. I don't know why, but that light just backs it up for, like, 2 miles. And growing up, that light was never there until the idiots started dying there. And now it's just a traffic jam.
You'd think as that would be a good spot for a traffic circle, actually. And then nobody ever has to stop.
Oh, on paper, those things are great, and they're great if you know how to use them. But you got to remember, like, no one knows how to use them. There's two on 26 Mile Road by my in-laws. I'm not kidding you. Every time I go to their house, someone drives, not, like, in front of me, but there's signs, right, with the arrows. They're always ran over in the middle of the roundabout because people, like, just jump them. I don't understand why they don't know how to work them.
That is awesome. Yeah, I know those two over there, but that's awesome. People just drive over.
Yeah, so that's just the reality. There's always going to be traffic. If I keep moving north, the people keep following me.
Well, that's not going to stop. I don't know where all these people are coming from, but I totally agree with you. There's a housing shortage, yet everybody seems to be moving out further and further. I don't know where the people are coming from that are backfilling.
I think what's happening is, just based on how many new homes I see going up around me, is because of the shortage, everyone's moving north and building homes on property.
Yeah, hopefully they're all getting big pieces of property so that they are big enough that people will keep them that way and small enough that they can't divide them up.
That's kind of the sweet spot where we're at. It's minimum 2-acre parcel, thank God.
Yeah, and you don't want anybody to really have more than 10, because if they have more than 10, then at some point in the next 20 years, they could go, oh, you know, we could divide this up into several parcels and put a road here.
That's how subdivisions are born. That's my neighbor. He's got next to me 60 acres, I think, the farmer. And he's not healthy and he's not young, so I'm really hoping that he's got a younger son who's like 19 or 20. I'm hoping that he takes over that farm. And then, you know, that locks me in for a while to where that's my only neighbor minus the one to the north of me. But, yeah, that's my biggest fear is he sells that land and then all of a sudden there's 10 homes behind me.
Well, you need to start getting friendly with him and be ready to buy 10 or 20 acres of that or the whole thing, which is, I know, far easier said than done. We're not all made of money, but, man, that'd be pretty sweet if you could get, you know, a bunch of land that butts up to your current piece of land. You'd have hunting land, you'd have whatever you want to do with it.
Oh, I know. That's why I'm trying to bury the hatchet with him, because I told him, I'm like, would you rather be my friend and ally, or would you rather be dealing with the township and people trying to develop your property into a subdivision? So I told him, if he ever sells, I'll buy four, and then I got a buddy that'll buy 15 or 20. So fingers crossed, but I really, you know, I'd rather just not have to do that. I'd rather just stay at farm and problem solve.
Yep. What's bare land like that going for per acre around you?
You know, I really don't know. I think it depends on the location, obviously, but I want to say $20,000 to $25,000 an acre. It's not too bad, but I don't know, like, a chunk like that and where it's at. M53, because a lot of it could be commercial right off the highway. I don't know what that would go for. I'd say close to $1 million, if not more.
Land is big money, man. It is expensive to own dirt.
Yep, and the more you have, the more taxes you pay for no reason.
Yep. It is a wild Ponzi scheme, isn't it?
Taxation is tough. I mean, I'm all for taxes. If I get something for it, I don't really know what I get in Elmont, if I'm being totally honest. I live on a dirt road, and I don't think I get... Oh, no, we do have police. We have two policemen. Woo. But I don't know. It's stupid. What I really don't like is the whole you pay off your house and still pay property taxes thing. I think that's kind of BS.
Yeah, it is total BS that you can allegedly outright own your home and the property you live on and still have to pay taxes on it.
How long have you guys been in your house?
17, 18 years?
Damn, dude. That's a long time.
Yep, we like it. I don't think we're going anywhere. Maybe we'll buy a second place or something like that, but we will live in that house till we die, I think.
Well, it helps, too, the community you have. I work with a couple gross pointers, and I always mess with them. Like, it's like a cult for you guys, but it's a good cult. Like, you guys, it's a good neighborhood. You don't have to worry about crap.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's why I don't think we'll ever go anywhere unless the community changes. But it's, we like where we live. We got some good friends. You know, it all changed once Nina's out of school, but, you know, for now, I don't think we're going anywhere.
No, I don't blame you at all, and that's the point I'm hoping to get to here. Not really a community thing, but just getting this house situated and the yard situated the way we want, think we'll be all right.
You'll be surprised. Once his kids get in school, you'll start, like, knowing more people in the community just because of proximity. Kids going to school, kids having play dates, shit like that. And you'll start building community, even out where you're at. It'll come in time.
Oh, yeah, I know. My daughter's 6, and she's already got friends and wants to hang out with her friends. I'm like, here we go. I get to mingle with parents.
Yeah, well, if you play your cards right, you, while they're young at least, you can manipulate it a little bit so that you get to hang out with the parents that you want to hang out with. Best case, you find a couple dads that like to hunt and do all the things you do, and then you end up with good friends that are also neighbors. That's the position that I'm in now. It works out really well.
Yeah, I hope so. A lot of my buddies at my old house, we all lived within 5 minutes of each other. We were all on the east side, and it was nice. And now, you know, it's a 25-minute drive to get to them, so we don't see each other hardly at all. Especially with how schedules are. Look at how hard it was for you and I to meet up for 5 minutes.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know how that goes. I'm in Grosse Pointe, and all my buddies are in Ray and Lennox, and I see them, like, once a month if I'm lucky.
So if you're in Grosse Pointe and they're up here, did they move from Grosse Pointe, or how'd you meet them? Or you go to school with them?
Some of those guys are my friends from elementary school. We all grew up in Mount Clemens together.
I gotcha. So they went north and you went south.
Yeah, and actually I went south before they went north. Most of them had lived Clinton Township, Shelby, stuff like that, and then ended up moving all the way out there.
Yeah, I remember being told growing up, you know, your friends are all going to get old and you're going to move away, and that's reality. It sucks. I got one buddy, one of my best friends is in Nebraska. One of my other best friends is in Iowa. One of my other best friends is in Grand Rapids. Like, dude, you guys move farther away next time?
I missed that one. Something about, it wasn't you, it was me. I was listening to something else. Something that you got a buddy in Nebraska, somebody moved out there. K-E-8-R-U-H.
Yeah, I was just saying, you know, growing up, everyone's like, you're going to get old and your friends are going to move away. You guys are going to be farther apart, yada, yada, yada. And I got buddies in Nebraska, Grand Rapids, Iowa. They're nowhere near here.
Dude, do those guys hunt? Iowa and Nebraska? There's some big deer out there.
I don't think so, actually. I mean, they hunt, but I don't know how. The ones been a hunter forever. The other one, he's ex-military and does private contracting overseas, and I don't know if he hunts. He probably tries to, but I don't think he knows what he's doing.
Well, if he's a PMC, he probably hunts just in a little bit different fashion than you and I.
Yeah, all those guys insist on using the wrong gear for killing deer.
Well, when you're used to hunting a different species, you know, you get connected to gear.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I think if I was switching species as well, I'd still probably use the same gear I'm using for the most part.
So on a different note, what do you think the chances are that I'm going to come across a radio at this swap? I'm hoping to find something with sideband on it, but I don't know. I'm hoping that it's at least a decent swap. I'm going to try to get there at 8 o'clock when it opens just because I have other stuff to do during the day. But I'm hoping. We'll see what happens.
Being that I have no idea what to expect from these swaps, I'm going to say it's a crapshoot. You're either going to find something good. Like, you found that little VX3 that one time, right? Was this the same swap?
Yeah, it was. You know, this one, I've only been to this one once, and it wasn't that big. The bigger one that I've been to is the Livonia swap. They do a pretty good job over there. But there's so few of them. Hopefully the two that I'm aware of that are left are good. I just don't know. We'll see what happens. It is totally a crapshoot.
Well, hopefully you find a diamond in the rough. I don't know. I feel like it's either going to be a bunch of old crap or it's going to be newer generation radios that, or not newer generation, like last gen, like 7300s and stuff that maybe are going for a good price. I don't know. I really don't know what to expect. To me, when I think of like a radio swap, I think of people bringing like old tube radios and stuff like that.
You know, and like I said, I've only been to three of them, but I definitely feel like it's a little bit of both, right? I feel like there's been a lot of tube stuff, and then I've seen like people there with stacks of Hyteras that are like industrial takeouts sort of thing from companies, and they're selling those. So it is a total crapshoot. You know, that VX3 that I got, it was some old dude that was like trying to get rid of his stuff because he had other stuff or had too much or whatever. So it is a total crapshoot. I guess best case scenario, so there's some older guy that has a 857 or a 7,000 or whatever, you know, and they're just trying to thin the herd.
You'll have to let me know the outcome of that because I'm honestly curious. I wish I could go. I wanted to go because I would like to see what I could barter some of my stuff for or just sell outright. But like Sean said, those radios are sought after because there's not a lot of them. Like, you got a 9700, you've got a 705, and you got an FTX1 and a 991A. I think those are the only radios in production right now that'll do sidebands. I'm sure there's others, but and those are all very expensive radios, so it's not like you're going to get into it for cheap. So these used ones that have been around for, you know, I think my date code on mine is 2006, I think. You know, they still hold their value. I don't know what that radio sold for back then, but I imagine it's probably somewhere around $500-$600, and that's what I paid for it.
Yeah, you know, I think if I don't find something that's like I feel like I'm getting a deal on, not that I'm like stealing it from somebody, but like I'm getting value, I may just save up some money and go a different route and buy something brand new. But like you said, you start getting into like laying out a bunch of cash for some of this stuff because you get into like a 705. I remember when you had that 705 before, all the parts that you had to go with it, the tuner, the amp, the this, the that, you had a ton of money wrapped up into that thing. And, you know, I have so many interests and hobbies, I don't want to get, you know, $2,000 wrapped up into any one thing, but we'll see. K8RUH.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, if you're going to buy new, it's so expensive to jump into it. And when I bought that 705 the first time, it was $150 cheaper than I bought it this time. Icon jacked their prices up. So I have more money into my 705 now than I did before, but the plus side, and this is, I knew I was getting into this mess and I kind of did it deliberately. The 705 is like a Swiss Army knife, and you can kind of adapt it to do anything. So I've got a little bit of money in the amps. I need to get an HF amp. I have a tuner that I've only got a couple bucks into. You know, it's the accessory stuff. Like, it's got a $350 cage on it. You don't have to do that, but I love those cages, and I think they're worth the investment to protect the expensive radio. So you could kind of go that, I mean, maybe, you could go that route and then tailor it to what your focus is at that time, like get a 2-meter amp for relatively inexpensive, and, but you're still going to be better off finding a used one. I just think you're going to be somewhere in the ballpark of $600 to $700 would be my guess for a clean 706 or a clean 857.
Yeah, you know, I may, if I don't find anything, I may hit that one guy up that has the 7,000 on Facebook and see what I can do with that one, because I'd like to get something, you know, like I was telling you last night, I want to get those parts for the antenna. I got 2 weeks off coming up, and I would love to knock some projects out and get some of this stuff set up so I can play with it the rest of the winter.
That's why I hustled to get my mast up, and now I have a nice space radio that I can play with all winter long in the freezing cold. But, yeah, that guy, too, you know, that radio's been up there for months. I'd hit him with, like, 600 cash. I'll get it today, see what he says.
Yeah, you know, what's funny is I was talking to Sean about it. Sean said he thinks he may have owned that radio at one point.
I wouldn't doubt it. That guy's had a ton of radios, and he still has a ton of radios. I'm just thankful that I don't even know how it came up that one day that he's like, "Yeah, I got this 857." I'm like, "What? You know, you want to sell it?" And I'm so glad that I asked, because that radio's everything I need in the bag. They're just few and far between. Like, the ones I've been seeing pop up on Facebook for a good price, they're in other countries, and then the ones stateside, like I said, are usually around $700.
Yep. Yeah, I just got to figure out what I want to do, or really it's what my opportunity is. It's one of those three. It's a 706, it's a 7,000, or an 857. So it's just a matter of finding a clean one, finding one with the right price. You know, like, there's a lot of stuff out there on eBay and stuff, and these guys are charging a lot more money, and got all the accessories and that, and it's like, man, I don't know. It's like you can get way deep if you want and spend, you know, $1,100 and it comes with a bunch of accessories, or you can find somebody that's selling just the radio for $600 to $700. I just gotta figure out how I'm gonna allocate my cash.
KZ8Z.
Good morning, Dave. Yeah, and if I'm buying a used radio, I really don't want other accessories. I want to build it out how I want to build it out. KKZ, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Dakota. Good morning, Anthony. I just, you guys are bringing up such memories of buying radios, and you both know. Well, Dakota, I don't know if you know, but I'm selling that, my 7300, that was Professor Don's radio, for $500. So that's a steal. Anthony, I understand you're going in a different direction, so that's no problem at all. But I'll probably see you at the swap, because I'm going to be there. I'm going to have a sign on the front and back of my shirt, see if I can sell my radio walking around. Hopefully somebody wants a smoking deal on a you know, really good 7300, $500. I haven't seen them that cheap. They're usually $650, $700. New ones go for $1,000, and then the new Mark II is at $1,500. So we'll see. Anthony, go ahead.
Yeah, Dave, it's hilarious that, you know, you're selling. If you would have put that out there like 3 weeks ago, before I was talking to Dakota and Sean about single sideband, I probably would have jumped on it. And even now, I know I'm going to kick myself for not buying it. It is exactly what I had been looking for, but these guys have been talking about how there's a daily 2 meter single sideband net, and I've been listening to Dakota talk about how he's making contacts with everybody all over town, 30, 40 miles away on single sideband. I'm like, man, that sounds super fun and interesting. So I don't know. I think I want something with that, but man, it's killing me to not just take you up on that deal. Go ahead, Dakota.
Wow, you guys still there? I lost everything. KZHC.
Are you on Warren?
We are here. Are you there?
Yeah, that was odd. Anthony, you were talking, and I just heard a squelch tail, and all of a sudden it was quiet.
If you're on Warren, Warren dropped for some reason. I flipped over to UMP, and I was able to hear him still.
Yeah, I am on Warren. That's what I hit from my home. I can't really hit Romeo or Richmond. Well, maybe UMP. Anthony, you were talking about a couple of weeks ago you were going to go, you would have gone that route, but then Dakota changed your mind and you're looking at it a different way, and then in silence.
Yeah, I was just saying, once you were telling me about the single sideband net and the opportunity that they've been getting, Dakota's been getting so far on single sideband, it really intrigued me. So that's kind of what I'm trying to accomplish right now. But I know that I'm going to kick myself for not taking you up on that deal, because it is a smoking deal.
I'm probably going to kick myself too, because that's just too good to pass up. But I have no use for another HF rig at this time. I want one. I want a 7300, but I don't have room on my desk. And since I've put up my wire for my 705, I have not transmitted once on it. So there's that. I think I'm going to do what you did. I'm going to buy an amp.
Yeah, the 705, like you said, it's a Swiss Army knife, but you got to put stuff around it at least, you know, because I'm not using it for QRP. I have, but I got that Jaigu amp, and that thing's, I don't know what that is now, 650, 600, something like that, I think, the amp tuner. But I that thing works great. And I saw Dave have that. That was a few years ago, and I went, ooh, that seems to be what I need. But that was my first radio, and I was going for the Shack in the Box. But I didn't know, like right now, you know, I'm doing FT8 on HF and talking here. And that's what I do all the time. I use both radios at the same time. You can't do that with a Shack in the Box. You know, you're switching back and forth. So I didn't know that at the time. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, you know, it's so hard to pick sometimes equipment because it's what you think you want, and there's so many options. And as you get deeper into things, you're like, oh, I need this, I need that, and it just, it escalates all so quickly.
Radio is a hell of a drug. It takes a lot of my money, but I enjoy it. I have no regrets about buying my 705. I know that once I get an HF amp, I'll have absolutely no regrets, and I probably won't even want a dedicated base radio. But I don't do a lot of HF at home, and if I do, it'll probably be FTA, which I'm not really touching the radio. So there's that little nugget. Back when I was newly licensed general, and I had my 7300, and I had a great antenna set up, and I was chasing POTA every single day and activating constantly. Like, that was a different story because I was trying to get all 50 states. But unfortunately, after getting all 50 states, that fire kind of died. And now I just don't really know what to do on HF. I don't really have any desire to go around and talk to old dudes about random things. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but that's pretty much what's on the band. So I'm just tuning around. That's what I hear, or I hear POTA, and you know, I'll chase POTA every now and again. But now I don't have an objective or a target. yeah, you know, I could get more awards, whatever achievements, but that's not really what interests me. It was just knocking out all 50, and once I got that, like I said, I was kind of, okay, now what?
Yeah, I like the special events. That's mainly what I do at home if I'm on HF. Well, I do FT8 a lot. But special events, I really like those. There's a one coming up, the 12 Days of Christmas, which is really cool, and it's all voice. So it's a rare one that doesn't do digital, but it's really cool. I'm not into doing the, you know, talking to folks. What's the funny thing? Ham radio, it's the hobby where you talk to folks about the hobby, using the hobby, with the hobby, around the hobby, or, you know, there's some line like that. It's pretty funny. But, yeah, the special events, that's what I like. That's kind of like what's next. I just look on the boards and say, what event's going on right now? There's like three of them going on right now around the Christmas stuff, so I really like those. And then, Anthony, you mentioned the 2-meter sideband. That's what I was using what I'm talking on right now is the MD9600, which is 40 watts max, but it does its job for me, and I've gotten on that 2-meter sideband with that. I want to try out the 6-meter sideband. That's the next one that I want to try out. I know Greg's been on that, and one of them is every evening, but the time is weird. It's like 8:30, and by 8:30, I'm not on the radio usually anymore. But I like those events, and the local nets are cool too.
Did you say that was a MD9600? Is that a TYT mobile radio, or what kind of radio is that?
It's a mobile radio, and it runs OpenGD 77, which is great operating system. I don't know what you'd call it on the radio, but that's what's sitting on my desk. That's what I'm talking on right now, and that's been fantastic. And it's like, I don't know, I want to say $190, something like that. And that's what I do satellites on as well. It's great for satellites because it does the Doppler work for you, and it's all through that OpenGD software, which is fantastic.
I can second that. Those are really good radios. I break mine trying to do a firmware, revert it back to stock firmware because I was going to return it, and then it was still within the window, so I just shipped it back anyway. Sorry, Amazon. But yeah, they're like $275, I think, on Amazon. You might be able to find them cheaper elsewhere, but they're built like tanks. They're solid radios. And if you're not going to buy a 578, I'd say that's probably the DMR mobile to buy.
And you can, Dave, you were saying you have hit the sideband 2-meter net on this radio? Or did I miss that? I'm confused.
Yes, I've called into that on this radio, and it works okay. Now, keep in mind, my antenna's in the attic. This radio's 40 watts, so it's not 100 watts. I think the ones you're looking at are 100, so you're gonna fall off a little bit there. But yeah, I've been on that using this radio, and it's a mobile radio, but it's my desk UHF VHF rig. The one in my car is, I forget what it is now. I'll have to look. But it's a little teeny thing. But this is my UHF VHF. I'm in my office at home, on my shack. And then the 7300. That's what I use that gets me everything. And at the same time, which is key, because I'm using two separate antennas, obviously. And when I had my 705 on the desk, I had two antennas, and then I had AB switches, and I'm switching back and forth, multiple AB switches. It was quite the setup. I could do everything I wanted to, but it was quite the setup with the different switches. And I'm sure, you know, the loss with each switch. So that's what I'm running.
NADBF, that's my next step for my shack. In the box, I'm going to get two duplexers because I have a UHF amp and a VHF amp, and I want them to go out of the same antenna that I've got up there and come out of the same 705. So I got to clean that up, and I'm fine with having the HF antenna just being a separate plug entirely. But I am going to grab my smoothie. I'll be right back in ADDF.
Hey, guys, I got to get to work, so I have to get out of here, too. Dave, it was awesome talking to you this morning. Let me know what time you think you're going to be at the swap. I'll make sure I'm looking for you or shoot you a text. I'm hoping to be there, like, right at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I'll probably be there right at 8 as well, maybe a little bit before. And I texted Greg yesterday, and I think he's going to go, too. I'll shoot you a text. I'll give you a call on the radio, but we'll find each other. Cool, nice chatting with you, Anthony. 73, KZAZ.
All right, KE8RUH, I'll talk to you this weekend. Have a good day.
I'm about a mile from my office, so I will clear out of here as well. I'm going to get there and get inside, so catch up with you gents later. Everyone have a good day, and ADDF.
Cool, you too, Dakota. Nice chatting with you. See ya. KZAZ.
W8FU.
Morning, Sean. WS7X.
Well, good morning. Sounds like you might be out and about in this brisk, wintry day. Just going to, I played hooky. I've got time to burn here. Going to pick up my son for breakfast. What do you got on the agenda?
Well, the agenda right now is coffee. And not great coffee, just decent coffee. And a nice little breakfast sandwich. So, we're headed to Dunkin' Donuts here by the house real quick.
Well, there you go. Pulling up here at my son's. I gotta text him real quick, let him know I'm here. And, he's in a apartment complex about a mile from me. Yeah, let me text him real quick right now.
Yep. Well, winter wasted no time. That flip switch that happened right about Thanksgiving. Oh, boy. That could have been a little more gradual. So, yeah. Ooh, they're doing something here at 59 and Mound. And they're closing off a couple of lanes. But some of them, yeah, service streets, so.
So do you ever get down this way, 15 and Van Dyke in particular? There's a place called Lucky Brunch that looks really good. Never heard of it, never seen it, but the website looks pretty good.
You might have to set up one of the breakfast things there if it looks that inviting.
Yeah, the pictures look really good, and yeah, we'll probably give it a try. Looking for something that's, well, I'll ask him when he gets out here, but looking for something that's maybe a just a notch up from your typical greasy spoon.
Now there's a fine line in there, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, I know a few, not up your way, but down this way. There's one I like in Ferndale. called Toast. And although they used to have this fresh pressed coffee you could get, good and strong. I used to love getting that, but they don't do that anymore. So that took a little of the luster off. But then there's the Yolk and Toast over in Roseville. That place is outstanding. We got a couple of them right here by me. The Breakfast Club and another one called the Chocolate Gallery. I never went there for years. It's a mile from my house. And for years I never went there because I thought it was a candy store called the Chocolate Gallery. Come to find out it's a little breakfast place. I'm like, what the hell?
Well, it doesn't sound like a breakfast place or anything like that. I see how you'd avoid it. There's a little place here not too far from my house. It used to be Grandma's House Spoon Cakes. Before that, it used to be some sort of Japanese restaurant. And they never took the decor down from the Japanese restaurant, and they managed to get a liquor license in there. But they're mostly brunch now. You can go in there and lunch and pretty much have a cocktail of your choice. But the things changed from Grandma's House of Pancakes to the Crepe House. You've got a pretty good selection in there. I can't figure out exactly where the owners are, but they're definitely Eastern European.
I remember when I was a kid, it was Greek restaurants, right? And but nowadays, it seems like the Albanians have really taken over that business, at least in this area. Most of your diners are, or many of your diners are Albanian-owned. And so, kind of funny how certain folks get in the certain lines of work. Probably stereotypical, but always seems to pan out when I go in.
Yeah, they know what you're talking about there, and then it seems like they kept the Greek menu. It's like they took over the restaurant from a Greek family and kept the original menu. But, it's decent food, or they wouldn't still be in business. Some of them are rather hospitable. I mean, they're really nice people. They actually care about serving you and making sure your coffee's full.
Tell you what, they are the most patriotic people I've ever met. Man, I'll tell you, my son had a lot of Albanian friends growing up, and my God, they were patriots to the last. Real salt of the earth type immigrants. But anywho, my son just popped out here. Let me chat with him, see what's going on, and be right back. Let me hit a few.
Well, I'll probably be at the house here in just a minute, Sean. I'll go ahead and let you go. Catch you later. Stay free. Yes, brother.
All righty. Catch you later, and let's see here. Back up. Catch you later, and stay warm. We'll talk to you later, Randy. Don't get a few.
Kilo Bravo 8, Whiskey Tango Alpha. W-8-V-I-J. KS-8-D-V-Z. What's up, Tom?
Oh, just a tad. Well, I got 24 degrees. And I got my coworker. He's in the Midland area right now because his service vehicle is in the collision shop because he tagged a deer last Friday going out to get gas for it. You know, we were off on Friday, but because of the snow, you know, we were anticipating because I only had like 5 miles left, so we wanted to make sure he had enough to, you know, just in case, you know, it got crappier than what it was.
Yeah, I hear that. Sucks he wrecked the vehicle. Glad he's all right. Any idea how long it's going to take to get it back?
Knowing fleet, you know, they got to look through all the pictures and evaluate. The collision shop's going to take it apart, get parts, you know, quotes on parts and stuff like that. So probably a month, maybe two. Probably won't get it back to like January. But once they get the parts in, yes, collision's pretty good, and they just zip right through it and get it all set up. It's just a headlight, a front fairing, and a radiator. So it's not too bad, but it's bad enough.
Yeah, copy that. Yeah, it probably will take them a couple of months. You know, bureaucracy and all that fun stuff. Yay!
Well, yeah, they gotta, you know, get approval from the insurance company, and they filled the report out. The state trooper gave him a tag for the deer. He's got the deer over at his buddy's house, ready to be processed. You know, because it was a headshot, so it was a button buck.
Well, it sounds like there's some good to come out of it for him anyway. And he's going to get a freezer full of meat.
Yeah, that was the laugh of this morning. Talking about being careful with deer and stuff like that. And I forgot how the conversation went. But as soon as our boss's boss heard that he picked a deer, you know, she's like, oh my God, you okay? He goes, oh, I'm fine. He says, deer's not so fine. The truck's not so fine. But when I chirped in, I said, yeah, at least. I said, you couldn't get one with a bone. You couldn't get one with a rifle. So decided to do the road rage.
Hey, whatever works, right?
Yeah, he had two jump out in front of him. He saw those, but the third one was a button bug, and basically threw deer in the headlights and looked up as he was going down and pegged him. Snapped his neck.
About the cleanest kill you can hope for when you think about it.
Yeah, the head went right into the grill, so it's just the passenger side. I mean, it doesn't look too god-awful bad, but the radiator is a little bit bent, so luckily it was cold enough that he could get into the collision shop and it didn't overheat. But all in all, you know, his truck will be fixed, he's fine. He's back in his old Maverick that he had when he was an estimator. So, all things turned out well.
And you certainly can't complain about that.
Nope, not at all. You were indoor dashing today.
I'm bopping around in Fraser, Sterling Heights, Clinton Township area. I sit at the Meyer at 15 in Utica, usually waiting for orders. I don't usually have time to chat on the radio when I'm doing this. Today is being really slow. I've only done one order so far.
Well, I can order stuff at Fraser, and then you can go pick it up and drive it up to Memphis.
No self-respecting dasher would take that order.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay the delivery fees anyways.
Yeah, and it's exactly that kind of thing that would keep any dasher from picking up an order like that. Because this is just like the trucking industry. It's got to pay at least a buck a mile one way or it is not a profitable run.
Oh, that's right. You get paid mileage.
Well, what it is I get to claim it on my taxes. It's a misnomer to call the extra money they get off of this tip, but the short, ugly version is if you tip a dollar a mile, the Dasher's going to pick your order up and bring it to you. So, you know, that's pretty much how that works.
Okay. Well, I know my son's a Dasher, so he does that after work. He gets off at 2 o'clock, I believe, and then by the time he gets home, it'd be like close to 4, and then he dashes, you know, until probably 9 or 10 or something.
Yeah, it's been out there for a while. I don't like to be out here for more than 3 hours at a stretch. Because, you know, I got other things to do with my life. But, he's only doing it once a day, though. That's not a bad amount of time to be out. How's he doing money-wise on that? Is he doing all right?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't talked to him in over a month. You know, we kind of had a falling out, but I know that he was talking about that. But, I mean, he works his regular day job, and then he gets, like I said, he gets out at 2 and whatever time it takes him to get home. I think he does that every day for extra money, even though he makes a decent amount an hour. But with the girl that he's with, she's kind of stretched his pennies to the breaking point.
That sounds kind of ugly.
Oh, yeah. Long story behind it. I mean, we were really close, and then thought this girl was going to be good for him, and I mean, that's what we thought. Some people had doubts, like, well, he's happy, but now he's, I don't know if he's happy or what, but she's, she's a bad seed, a narcissistic control freak, very possessive.
KFADPZ. I'll be right back. I got to deal with this order. Ooh, that looks like a no. Hold on. I'll be right back. All right. That one was a hard no. This one was an example of some of the ridiculous orders we see. Two pickups, you know, two different restaurants going to the same customer. Total pay on the run would have been $6. The problem is that it was a 12.5-mile drive one way. So that was that's a hard no.
Oh, I don't believe you. I didn't realize you could do that. I thought you can pick and choose your order. That's pretty good. And then your audio is a little muffled. I don't know what that's all about.
Yeah, it might have just been how I was holding the mic.
Yeah, communication terms from Ma Bell. A little bit in the mud, but not too much. I mean, I can understand you just on a little money there. But so you can pick and choose what deliveries you want to do.
Absolutely. I can accept or decline any offer that comes my way. Okay, this one I'm taking. I got to run, Tom, man. I'll talk at you later. KFATPZ. This is a good one. 3 miles, $7.
KFATPZ, 73KACKJO. W-A-D-I-K.
WZ8KLO.
Hey, how you doing? KUD8OSB Mobile.
KE8WFY. We're actually on our way to the Vance Cruz Amateur Radio Club meeting tonight in Harrison Township. If they want to say hi, great. Otherwise, have a good evening.
KE8JL, this is Tim, N8WRO in Richmond. How you guys doing tonight?
N8WRO from Tim, A-D-H-J-L. Doing okay. It's not, I think, actively snowing at the moment, but like a quarter inch of glorified frost is on the road, so you got to be a little careful. But other than that, doing well. Looking forward to the meeting tonight. I'm actually doing a presentation on rate control, why you should have rate control. So looking forward to putting that to bed. It's been a lot of work putting it together, and I'll be happy when that's done.
Yes, sir. I think I heard you mentioning that to John earlier that you're doing that presentation. So I wish you good luck with that. That sounds interesting. Nothing else going on over here. We do have a little snow up here in the North Country in Richmond. They just called for the plows to go out. But other than that, have a great night. Just wanted to shout out to you. I heard you throw your call out there. And, of course, I know we met at the ARPSC meeting a while back. So have a great night, Tim. Stay safe. Drive safe. N8WRO, after you, sir.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Nice to hear. To reinforce the contact, I appreciate it. N8WRO, I'll have to definitely remember that. The first name comes easy, obviously. So awesome. Stay warm, stay safe, and enjoy the rest of your evening. I'll be driving for the next 20 minutes or so. If anybody else is out there, otherwise, 73-EGA-JL.
KGL, N8MTG.
I didn't catch your call. MKG from 88JL. Go ahead.
This is Dennis, N8MKG. Just want to tell you that Crocker is kind of a mess. Over at Grosbeck, between Moravian and Grosbeck down one lane. Took an extra 5 minutes to get through tonight.
Thanks for the heads up. I've got Apple Directions on, but I had Apple Directions on last time, but she took me right into the mess, so I'll take a look and see if there's a way around that I can avoid that. You know you're on the FBI repeater, not the Vance Cruz. I got you, obviously.
Is there something wrong with the Land Scourge repeater?
I was just scanning and heard you on this one here.
Sounds good. My radio, I don't have the frequencies programmed, and so basically I keep this on 1 2-meter and 1 70-centimeter, and this is my go-to on 70-centimeter. So thanks for the heads up. I appreciate it. According to Apple right now, we'll be there about 7 minutes early, so I'll let you know. Appreciate the heads up. ADHL.
Okay, very good. I'm at the Tucker Senior Center right now. I'll see you when you get here. N8MKG.
KFA EAP. Listening? Anyone out there?